And we're back. And Obie Clark's had a little bit of a scare there. The lights went off. Jamie Rivers is here. He's got all nervous, got all scared. He's under the table.
Yeah, a little nervous when the light went off.
He's like,
didn't he?
Oh my God. The weather. Andy, please help me. Andy.
I seem to remember Andy being Stricky. Wrapped around my leg.
Stricky.
Terrified. I've got nail marks in my shin right now.
Oh my gosh. A nail mark, she said.
Yes, nail marks.
Weather or nail marks. Good to see you, Rivs.
Good to see you too, buddy.
This is sports medicine, by the way. We had Hockey Sense in the previous hour. Joe Vitale joined me for an hour. Great conversation with him. Kind of one of the secrets of St. Louis hockey players who went on to have a lot of success, you know, because he didn't play here in St. Louis. It seemed like a lot of the other guys had a chance to play here in St. Louis. But this guy, listen, I hate to see a player's career end because of injury, especially when it's a concussion, because...
And a young guy,
it just because it just doesn't heal 4 to 6 weeks later, right? I mean, he's still dealing with it. Doc and I talked a lot about that and have a lot in the past. But this guy was a really, really good hockey player and a great ambassador for St. Louis hockey, so it's good to see him starting to come around and start to feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's hockey's a tough sport, obviously.
It's a hard sport, man.
The concussions are crazy, right? Because you really can't come back from them when you want. Like, you can muscle through sometimes a knee injury. You can muscle through some. You can't muscle through a concussion. You can try, but you're just going to feel twice as bad the next day or the next week or for the next month, the next year. Some guys are still, like you said, still dealing with these effects, and that's a scary thing.
So when you played, did you ever have any concussions? What was the deal?
You know what? I did have a couple. Now, I can tell you, now that career's over, I never reported them because, you know what,
I would think in your era, it wasn't like today where you had the concussion spotters.
No.
And if you hear the word concussion or if you come back to the bench and you even say, God, I got a headache. Like when you played, maybe they would bring you some Advil. Now they shut you down for the game.
Well, they didn't even, like, you didn't say anything because you just felt, quite honestly, oh, I got my bell rung, right? And I remember one game when I was playing for the Islanders, I got hit by Eric Lindros behind the net, kind of from behind in the blind spot. You know, gray area hit. But it was good because I'd been cheap-shotting him all night, so I deserved it.
Who was this?
Eric Lindros.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He had a few concussions.
So he hit me, and then all I remember after that was I talked to my wife in the living room of our home in New York. And I was like, where were we tonight? And she was like,
really?
She was like, you played a game. I went, oh. Well, did we win? You drove home, too. I couldn't remember anything that happened for that short period of time. And then, of course, the next day, you know, you wake up with a headache, and then you just think it's a hangover because we used to have a couple beers back in the day after each game, right? So non-prescribed medicine, as we'll call it, because we got the doc here. But, yeah, you wake up, and you know, and you kind of went about your bit. You didn't really talk about it because you didn't want to let anybody know. And I wasn't a top-four defenseman, so – when you're in the 5, 6, 7 range,
you're not taking yourself out.
Like, you don't want to give them a reason to be like, you know, take a breather. Because if you come out and the team goes on a winning streak of any kind at all, then you're out for a long period.
Well, you know, I was talking to Joe about that because when his career ended, you know, he got in a fight and took a punch and it shattered his
orbital bone. You got that
altogether, Andrew.
Well, I said
orbital.
It wrong earlier.
His orbital
bone. and it led to a concussion or whatever. But he had – this is the beginning of the year, and he was a healthy scratch for the first 3-4 games of the regular season. So what do you do when you get in the lineup, right? You're charged up. You're animated. You're not happy. You got a family at home. The GM's calling your agent saying, hey, if you don't pick up his game, we're sending him down. You don't want to leave your family. And so you're going to do whatever you need to do to make yourself valuable and to stay in the lineup.
Well, you can't change your game either, right? So Joey Vitale goes in and tiptoes through the tulips, as I say – they're going to be like, he's not, you know, he's changed or he's trying to switch his game. And you can't do that. And, you know, as a player that was involved in some of the physicality.
And he would fight. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't fight. But
he'd answer the bell,
He would, for sure. But you just, you know, maybe if he hadn't been in that same situation, maybe he's not looking to go in that you know, somebody touched Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He's kind of the star young player at the time.
Yeah, but then
you got to
do what
you got to do.
The thing is like, oh, well, if he wasn't putting that, well, if he wasn't doing it or he wasn't able to do it from the start, then maybe he wouldn't be in the NHL.
Right.
So it's all like this vicious kind of circle that happens. And
he doesn't blame fighting. He said, listen, fighting was a huge part of my, it was a part of my game. I had to do it. That's not why. He doesn't look back at it and say, you know, fighting, I wish fighting was out of the NHL nowadays.
We all have choices, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm very fortunate to have great friends that have been tough guys. And Eric Cairns in New York, and Tony Twist is one of my best friends in the world. Mm-hmm. And these guys, you know what? You talk to them, Kelly Chase, another guy, you talk to them, and they would do it again in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
And they knew what they had to do, and this is kind of what they expected. Now, do we want to have these guys or anybody who's in that predicament or that position, do we want to have them having lifelong effects forever? No, we don't, because they're unbelievable guys, and they did a job that none of the other teams or none of the rest of the team could do, right?
Yeah.
So you got to respect it, and at the same time, it's kind of it's sad sometimes because some of these guys go down a dark path when this is all said and done, and we're seeing that evolve through media and through all the stuff. We're seeing guys that are having difficult times. So the fighting is one part of it, but the hitting. Like, I had a guy, the guy from Boston University. I forget his name now. He sent me an email, wanted to have a discussion about concussions and head trauma because for about 5 years I was in the top five for body checks. And he's like, these are like small car crashes. And, Doc, you can speak to this.
No question.
You know, you have two guys moving at 20, 25 miles an hour, and then you throw, the boards and the glass involved, and you've got these little car crashes, as he described them as.
It's not just your head, you know. I mean, your neck gets jolted, and your brain starts to shake a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, describe it because...
But, you know, I was talking to Al MacInnis about this the other day because we were talking about the playoff series in 2003 where the Blues had a 3-1 lead on Vancouver, ended up losing the series. He got injured in that playoff series, took a big hit from Todd Bertuzzi, and he said, you know, he should have protected himself a little differently, like he had 500 million times. But if you remember that glass in Vancouver, it was like hitting a brick wall, right?
That was the seamless glass, which was, in my opinion, was one of the worst ideas NHL ever went with, because so many guys, I can tell you, it was like being hit into a brick wall.
And by Todd Bertuzzi.
By Todd Bertuzzi and guys who were getting bigger and faster and stronger all the time.
Right.
And when I broke into the league.
Could you imagine that being your home building?
I couldn't.
You got to play in that 41 times a night or a year?
When I broke into the league, we had we call it the TV glass, right, which is what they have now. It gives and it goes. It makes a lot of noise, and it's, you know, and they went away from that because they wanted to get to this seamless glass, so a better experience for the fans. But they realized quickly that these players were suffering because of it, because it was like being smashed into a brick wall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad they went away. They got away from that, because now with the speed of the game and the way players move, you would have numerous injuries.
All right, we gotta take a break or get out of here, actually, for the Charlie Tuna show.
We're getting thrown out?
He comes on next. We got to have you on for a full hour. See, that, Doc, this is what we have to start doing.
I'm ready.
Because we get into all these, like, medical topics and whatever. You know, we gotta have more players on and just talk about.
We could have Doc cross-reference medical things, and then we could talk about, as a player, what it feels like, and Doc can tell us what we're really feeling.
Yeah, because we want to hear the rest of the story. You know, he woke up, he was hungover. Well, then what happened?
He was passed out at the wheel. It was 3 in the morning.
Oh, that's right.
He had two flat tires.
No alcohol in my system.
No alcohol.